in the second chapter of the book of James, notice this, you don't have to stand, we'll just be seated. He says, my brethren, James chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. What a command. We are not to have any respect to persons. Verse 2, for if there come unto you, your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now let's bow our heads and ask God tonight to help us. Father, we ask you to give us divine wisdom from a heaven and from above. Lord, may our minds be touched with the presence of God. May the Holy Spirit direct our thoughts. And God, I pray tonight that we may speak what you put in our mind and heart. And God, that we might say only that which you'd have us to say. No more, no less, but we give you glory and honor and praise. And you draw us close to you. May we apply what we hear tonight. Walk out of this building, Lord, be able to stand in the gap, make up the hedge in a lost and dying world. And God, be a blessing to those we come in contact with. Bless these people for coming tonight. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Amen. Now, I want to go back to chapter 1 for a moment. We'll come back to chapter 2. And we'll mention something out of all these. Just an overall view. Each of these chapters has quite a bit of information. You remember James is one of what I call the inner circle disciples. Now, there was Peter, James, and John that always were with the Lord regardless. And whatever they were, whatever he was into, they were with him. They were close to the Lord. They were first-hand representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. So James is giving us something here. He's writing some things and giving it to us. And he's trying to get down to practical living. The book of James is basically for practical living. You take the book of James at heart, and I'll guarantee you it'll touch your daily life. It'll touch you physically to walk right. Amen. Man, he does it through the spiritual mind. Now, looking in chapter 1, we know that chapter 1 deals with temptation or testing and trials and tribulations, if you will. Not tempting to sin, but testing us to see how we stand with God. And so we get a lot out of that. We find in it, in the first chapter, that God is dealing with us and in testings and trials. It's testings and trials that makes me strong. It's testings and trials that'll make you strong. When I come through something and I've seen God in it and brought me out of it, I look back and say, thanks be unto God. He's brought me through it and it strengthens me. Amen. I don't believe we ought to walk every day under the burden and trouble that we seem to be sometimes, you know, day after day, week after week, under such a load that we can't carry it. I believe today God takes anything and everything off of us tonight that we commit to Him. He'll not put us in any position. He'll not put us in any kind of situation tonight that we can't handle. Amen. And I'm not talking about us in particular. I'm talking about that can't be handled by the hand of God in our life. Amen. He said He would make a way of escape. Sometimes I look like I've come to the place, or at least I feel like I've come to the place I can't handle no more. Just one more a little thing and it's going to be all I can handle, and I'm just going to fall all to pieces and fly all to pieces. You ever been there? Amen. But just about that time when we get to where we think we can't go no further, can't do no more, can't handle no more, the hand of God seems to move in. Now, God knows how to do that. Now, you may handle more problems than I can. Or I may handle more than you can. And some of us are stronger in certain areas. But there are some areas tonight that I'm weak in that you'll be strong in. There's some things that you're weak in that I can be strong in. But God knows what they are, and I might be able to handle some little something. I might be able to handle some little something better than you can. You may be able to handle something else more than I can. And God is able to take that. But we look in chapter 1 and He talks about it. We find out that our testing and our trials. Amen. God don't tempt us to sin, but He gives us a way tonight to be taken out from under it. So you read that. So chapter 1 deals with our temptations and our testings. And I'm glad tonight that He tests us. Now, when we get to chapter 2, not much is said about chapter 2 much. I don't hear too many talk about it. I don't hear too many preachers preach on it. You don't read too much about literature on chapter 2 of the book of James. I've studied a lot of in the Bible. You don't find too much. And it's a business of being respect to persons. I'm glad God don't have no big eyes and little U's. I'm glad God loves me tonight just as much as He loves you. He don't love me anymore, and He don't love you anymore than He does me. I'm glad tonight His love is a holy love, a godly love, and God loves us all the same. Amen. God will do just as much for me as He will you. You said, how come He does something seem like for others more? Well, there's some times that they're blessable. That's not a good word. Amen. It is to me, but it might not be to you in the English language. But some people are more blessable. Are they at a place tonight where that they can be blessed more? And so we get in chapter 2, and he says this. He says in chapter 2, my brethren, he's talking to the saints of God, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. In other words, don't have the faith and, putting one ahead of another or saying one's better than another. He goes on to explain that, for if there come unto you unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, or somebody's got more money, somebody is seen to highly respected more than somebody else, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Now we differentiate. We shouldn't, but we do. We can look at somebody and say, hey, did you know they look like they're more well-being and well. And I every time I read these scriptures, I think about that deacon one time when we was knocking on doors and we saw an old community. And there we were. And we were going to knock on those doors, and they were poor folks, didn't have anything. And I've always been able to touch them and help them. I can do more with them than I can the rich folks. Amen. The rich folks won't help you much sometimes. They won't cooperate with you. But I said to them, we'll stop here. And he said, oh, let's go on, preacher. These people can't help our church. They can't. Look, we're not out to try to help to see if people can help our church. We're out to see if we can help somebody. Amen. And that's what the key is. And so a lot of times people look at them and they'll give them more recognition. They'll shake their hand and get up and go speak to them where they wouldn't get up and go speak to somebody else and come in poor arraignment. I mean, they wouldn't do it. If they think they ain't got no money to put them on a different pedestal. You don't put people on pedestals. God said that's a respect to persons. God teaches us out of chapter 2 we shouldn't do that. Amen. I trust tonight you don't do it. You ought to treat everybody the same. And we ought to treat everybody the same way. Amen. Whether they got money or don't have money. Amen. By the grace of God, we are what we are. Amen. We'll treat some a little bit better because they got more education than somebody else has got. Listen, education, possessions, clothing, money, prestige, popularity, All that should not be determined who we fellowship with. Amen. So we not to do that. And he goes on to mention it several times. Verse 3, "And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place." Give him the best place in the house. Give him the best seat. And say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Hey, you get on over yonder. You look, he said if you do that, I mean, it's wrong. He goes on to tell us about it in just a minute. Verse 4, he said, "Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" In other words, I know some people tonight, they may look like they don't have anything, but there'll be some that'll stay with you when trouble comes. Amen. I know some tonight that's looked down at in a funny way, in a bad way, and people don't pay much attention to them. But you know what? They'll be the ones that'll stay with you when you need somebody. Amen. Oh, that bunch tonight with the gay clothing and a pocketbook full of money, they'll run out on you. Amen. Been there. Seen that. And so we go on. In verse number 5, he said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" Brother, God's got it picked out. Now look at this. Go on down. He said, "But at verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats?" They do. "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" He said, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." But look at verse 9. Here's the key. He said, "But if ye have respect to persons," he said, "ye what? Commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." God said it's sinful to differentiate between people and put them on a pedestal and have respect to persons. Now, we know it. He goes on in the second chapter and he talks about faith and works. And we're not going to get into that tonight. But he deals with it. And this whole chapter mainly is about respect to persons. We get over to chapter number 3. Now, when you get to chapter 3, there's a lot of preaching in chapter 3. And it's what I call the tongue chapter. Now, I got two chapters in the Bible that I call the tongue chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and then we have James chapter 3. Amen? And the chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, they're talking about speaking in tongues. Amen? That's a tongue problem. Never heard it in my life, but Sunday I heard them singing a song. And they said that when they died, they want to die speaking in tongues. Now, boy, that's some song, isn't it? Amen. I heard they must have said it a half a dozen times or more in that song. When I die, I want to die speaking in tongues. Amen. I want to get far away from that as I can get. Amen. But I think about it. They're talking about bringing out the glory and all that. But I'm saying tonight, the tongue chapters, one of them is 1 Corinthians 14, the other's James chapter 3. But chapter 3, he talks about how we ought to bridle our tongue. How we ought to control our tongue. Did you know tonight the only one that can control our tongue is the Lord? Amen. Sometimes I try to work on it and I make a mess out of it. Sometimes I try to watch what I say, and we ought to. But we ought to let God do the speaking through us, and it would help us a whole lot. Flesh rises up and gets our tongue to moving. Let's read a little bit about this tonight. He said, "My brethren," you see, he's gone to that again, talking to the saints of God. And he said, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." He goes on to say, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to what? Bridle the whole body." Amen. Bridle the whole body. Now, you know what a bridle is. It's putting, a leash on it. That's exactly what you're doing. You put that bridle on it, and it sustains and holds. But verse 3 said, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us and we turn about their whole body. With those little bits, you can move a horse to the right, to the left, slow him down. Amen. You can do that. And those bits are cut into the flesh. And it puts pain on them and slows them down. And they know how to operate. And see, look, I'm trying to tell you tonight, it's going to be painful for God to control your tongue. Not painful to God, painful to you. It takes pain. Now, we don't want pain, do we? No, sirree. We don't want to hurt. So, if we have our tongue under control, and we're controlled by the hand of God, God's going to have to do something to bring us under subjection. And it's going to take the hand of God. And brother, I'll tell you, this flesh tonight rebels. It don't want to do right. You don't want to do right. Admit it tonight. You don't want to do right. Amen. Some things you don't mind having any problems with. Amen. You're not out killing nobody because you don't want to kill nobody. But you don't mind lashing them with your tongue. And you can kill them with your tongue. Amen. And so you can be a murderer with your tongue. But let's go and see what he says in verse number 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now that old helm of that boat, ship, even the big ships, it's not big, not large in proportion to the size of the ship or the boat. Small. Amen. It's amazing to me. You can take a little old John boat and put it out there, and I'm not much one. I don't get out in the water. Don't like it. But you can take a little old John boat and put a little old trolling motor on it, and you can move that thing around wherever you want to, as long as your battery's running. Amen. And you can just go and go and go. And you can move it and turn it in whichever direction you want to by turning that little trolling motor. And so God says the ships are run, and they're pushed and pulled and moved by a little small helm. And he said in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member. Amen. It's a little member. That's what it says, a little member. That's right. Amen. And it said, and boasteth great things. Little bitty thing brags a whole lot, don't it? Have you ever done that? I imagine there's not but a half a dozen in here probably that's ever boasted. Amen. And you can figure out which half a dozen that is, and you pick it all, and you got them all picked out but you. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, he says, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A little old tongue's a world of fire, is it not? Amen. I think about sometimes, and I've done it. Oh, God help us, I've done it. And you say things and then you wish you hadn't said them. And you wish you could just reach out there and get them and poke them back in the house that God gave you in your mouth and swallow it, and you'd like to take it back, wouldn't you? As a kid, they'd chase you down and you'd say something, take that back, take that back. I've just about been beat to death by some. Take that back. And you say, I take it back. But you can't take it back, can you? It's done. It's damage. It's done. It's job. It's done. The terrible damage. And we as God's people, some of the worst could do that. It's amazing when the lost people say things. When the lost people say things bad about the things of God, you can kind of overlook that to a certain degree. They don't know any better. But when God's people say the things that they say and, upset the apple cart, and some folks just sit back, surely you wouldn't do that tonight. Nobody here would. That you sit back and think, I tell you what I'm going to tell them. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? But we haven't we? Amen. And I'm saying tonight, sometime we'll say, this is what I'm going to say to them. This what, and we'll meditate that. God help us. And that we just sometimes see people and just wish and hope that they're going to say something so we can unleash our tongue on them. So we can just tell them what we think. My mother-in-law, she used to say, I'd give them a piece of my mind. And I said, you ought not to do that. You ain't got much mind left. You done it too much. Amen. And God help us. We don't need to do that. And I've done it. You've done it. And we'll continue to. But oh, God help us tonight. My heart's desire and prayer for God is that He might help me with my tongue. If I could just get my tongue under control, and I can't, but if He could get it under control, it would be a blessing. It would be a blessing. Amen. About the time I think I've got it headed in the right direction, something happens. Something happens. Amen. But I'm saying to you tonight, He said, it's how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now look at verse 6. He said, and the tongue is a what? Fire. Amen. I don't like fire, do you? Amen. He said, and the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity, a world of sin, a world of transgression. A little old member in your mouth. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. That little bitty tongue can turn us in the wrong direction. And it setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Boy, God has given us a good description of the tongue, isn't He? Oh, yes. Looking at it, He said in verse number 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But, He said, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of what? What? Deadly poison. Oh, God help us. He said, therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. He said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, He's talking to the saints of God. He's not talking to the world. These things ought not so to be. Brethren, we ought to have our tongues under subjection to the Lord Jesus. Verse 11 said, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Fountain don't do that, does it? He said, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? No, sir. He said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Amen. So chapter 3 of the book of James deals with the tongue, which no man can tame. God help us. Amen. Well, let's stop right here and every one of us be in the altar and asking God to lay His hand upon our tongue and touch our minds and hearts that we might speak as the oracles of God. Hey, you can either speak sweet blessings or you can reel out cursings from your lips tonight. Amen, you can do that. You've heard me say this before. God put that tongue in your mouth and put it in a cage with some teeth. Amen. And then put them lips out there to cover and stop it. Brother God put it in a double cage. That's right. And you know what? We still get ourselves in trouble. Some of you today no doubt said things you shouldn't have said. And I'm not talking about vile, ungodly things. You just spoke up. You said, I just speak my mind. That's okay if you've got a mind like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. But if you're going to speak your mind tonight, you better make sure that mind has been seasoned with the Holy Ghost. And that mind is being thinking on heavenly things, not earthly things. Amen. God help me. That would be a prayer tonight from my heart. Oh, God help me to speak right. Help me to declare the Word of God like I ought to. Help me to lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus. Help me either to keep my mouth shut or say what I need to say and no more. That would be a blessing if just, hey, if God just touched me with that, it'd be a blessing. Amen. I tell you, I'm glad nobody amen that, but anyhow, I mean, it'd be a blessing if God touched all of us tonight, that we'd speak correct and right. Then we get to chapter 4. Chapter 1 deals with testings and trials and temptations. Chapter 2 deals with respect to persons and showing partiality on people. Amen. You see that everywhere. You see it in homes. You see it out in public. You see it on the jobs. You see it in the church. Partiality. And then the tongue, chapter 3. When we get to chapter 4, James deals with another subject, and he deals with it down through there, and that is it's the subject of worldliness, being part of the world, taking on the things of the world, getting like the world, acting like the world, being like the world. Because he says in verse number 1, he said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Hey, people, God's people don't fight, do they? Do they? Hey, I mean, he said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" He said, "Come they not hence even of your lust, that war in your members?" Hey, that means tonight we have war going on. And we war with each other. Verse 2 said, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." You see this tonight? He goes on. He said in verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" Hey, he said, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." He said, if you even like the world, you're an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God, do you? Oh, I want the world to get its hands off. Listen, I look too much to the world. You look too much to the world. I get acting too much like the world. Oh, God, help me if I could just get separated from an old world tonight that don't like God and don't love God. If I could just get away from it. And it wouldn't have no bearing or no control on my heart. It'd be a blessing. My life would be different. Can you see what could help us tonight? Out of the book of James, these things... Listen, James, if it's practiced and heeded, I'll guarantee you it'll make something out of us. Just like every other book of the Bible. And God, as this goes over and over and over... Isn't it amazing how that God takes one book and comes in at one angle at us? And takes another book and comes at another angle. But when it's all said and done, it's the same book doing the same job. And each writer that God has had to pin down the Word of God has given us something that'll help us. You can take any book in there. And it'll help you if you'll let it get applied to your heart. So let's go a little bit further in here. He said, "Do you think," in verse number 5, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain?" You know, of no use, "the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy." I mean, do you think it's any vain? He said, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Look here what he says. He said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Amen. Submit yourselves unto God. Then he said, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." I've heard people quote that and misquote it, and I have too, back in years gone by. All we've got to do is resist the devil and he'll flee from us. We forget the first part of it. We submit ourselves unto God. If we're not submitted, brother, we are not going to be able to resist the devil. You're submitted to God, you won't have a bit of trouble telling the devil to get by. You know what that means to resist the devil? Jesus said it to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You understand that? That's resisting him. And Jesus in the wilderness was tempted 3 times. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was without food. And the devil said, If thou be the Son of God or the Son of Man, make these stones bread. And he resisted him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's resisting him. You can't resist the devil tonight unless you're submitted to God. Amen. Remember that. Verse number 8. He said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinner, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. He said in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And we could go on and on. But chapter 4 is dealing tonight with worldliness. Chapter 5 comes with another subject, and he's talking about something tonight that has ruined a lot of people. Chapter 5 deals basically with possessions, having things. Most folks have a lot of things, and if they don't have a lot of things, they're not happy. Their happiness is in their happenings and in their possessions. As the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter number 5, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. You have all the good things, and you have about everything you want, but you'll find out down the road it still don't make you happy. Amen. The more you get, the more you'll want. Or your wants tonight won't never be satisfied. But if you'll get the place that you're trusting God, depending on Him, and you don't worry about what you do have, and you don't measure yourself and your spirituality by how much you have. Some folks believe that they are spiritual, and they have attained a spiritual position because they've got a lot of possessions. Oh, they've got 3 cars. Amen. How many? I mean, 2 people in the house. Who needs 3 cars? Amen. I'm talking to myself tonight. Amen. Pay insurance on 3 vehicles. Amen. Now there ain't but one of us driving. Amen. And here we have. Isn't that something? I mean, clothes in the closet you can't wear because it takes months to get around to wearing them all. Now, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but there are some people like that. You ladies got so many shoes. Amen. You can wear a different shoe every time you go out the door. You have to be careful. Make sure you wear the same ones and not get them mixed up. And some of you, and I know good and well I'm hitting a nail on the head. Some of y'all go hunting a shoe on Sunday morning and you're spending 15, 20 minutes to find the match to the left, get the left shoe to the one that you found the right of last night, and you can't find it nowhere. You put on a different pair and come back to the house after church, and there lays that shoe you've been hunting all the time. Has that happened? Huh? Amen. You see what I'm saying? Oh, we got possessions, but our possessions don't mean anything. Amen. It could mean you're in debt. Amen. Could mean a lot of things tonight. But I'm saying to you, he said here in verse number 2, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Possessions. Verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Amen. And that chapter goes on talking about what we have. Amen. And then likewise, people on the other side don't have nothing. They always whining because they ain't got nothing. Amen. We ought to be thankful for what we do have and grateful to God for what we own. It's not ours, no how. God has just let us keep it for a little while. Amen. We're going to walk out. Somebody's going to sit in that chair you like. Are they going to throw it away one? Some of that stuff you've got going to go in the yard and sell to the dumpster. Amen. I saw down here in Demarest a fella. I known him for years, and I don't know where his wife died or not, but he's had some old vehicles and had them covered up. Never seen him get them out. Never seen him drive them. He may have. But he certainly babied them like this, a baby. And he had one vehicle he drove, and then he died. And then they come in there, I guess his kids, I don't think he had no kids, had family members come in, toted everything off, seen them in there backing up and rolling them vehicles out of there. And he's kept them for years. Didn't get to use them. I don't know what he's going to do with them. You've got things tonight that be the same way if you left it tonight. Have you kept it and you going to do, one of these days you're going to do something with it? Chances are you'll never touch it anymore. Amen. And when you put your trust in them things, what happens is we're putting things ahead of God. And he's trying to teach. James is telling us, what you've got today, I've got the place now. If it ain't no good and I can't use it now, might as well get rid of it. Amen. Only thing is, I just ain't got the strength and the health to get rid of much anymore. Amen. But I got it. Want to get rid of it. You with me? I believe tonight we need to have everything we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's on it. We can't use it. What are we keeping it for? Amen. Might help somebody else. Think about it. And I'm not saying that to get something you've already accumulated. I don't need anything. Amen. Got food in the freezer, clothes in the closet, shoes put on my feet, got a roof over my head. It may not be what you'd like. Got an automobile I can drive. Hey, I don't really need anything. That's right. I'm just satisfied to live for Jesus. Just want to be what I need to be the rest of the trail. Praise God. Not looking for something better because I've already got that. I just hadn't moved into it yet. Amen. I'm going to leave it here and pick it up there. Praise God. I go out the front door, the house. Amen. Move in to the mansion door in glory. That's right. Praise God. Give God the glory and the praise. James has given us a lot here. And I challenge you with every bit of it tonight. I just felt like that's what we need to do. Heads bowed. Oh, God help us. This is practical teaching. James is practical. It's a practical book. Practical book. It's not extravagant. It's not asking something it shouldn't be asked. It's not unreal. It's a practical, plain book. And if we took its truths and followed them tonight, we'd be a better Christian. We'd be a better vessel. We'd help others better than we've done in the days past. God help us tonight.